Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Have you ever heard the term personification? You heard the term personification? In literature, it occurs when we attribute the human nature to animals, to inanimate objects, or to abstract ideas. For example, lightning danced across the sky. Okay, we know lightning cannot dance. It's white. The wind howled in the night. The wind howled. That was a little subtle, you know. Thought I'd slip that in there. The wind howled in the night. We know that wind does not howl. She heard the last piece of pie calling her name. Oh, yeah. The moon played hide and seek with the clouds. Traffic slowed to a crawl. These are examples of personification. A few biblical examples of personification. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Satan is personified as a roaring lion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." That's Galatians 5:24. The flesh is personified as being hung from a cross. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." The body is personified as having a war with the mind. Well, as we continue our study of Romans chapter 7, perhaps the use of personification will help us to see the flesh in our minds as the monster that it is, so that we would never want to mix our human power with the power of God the Holy Spirit, because there is no mixture between human power and divine omnipotence. So welcome to a place where you can be reminded of your real power source. And the opening song is from Chris Tomlin, "Everlasting God."
Strength to rest when we upon the Lord we will wait upon the Lord we will wait upon the Lord.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to realize the debilitating power of mixing the truth with lies. Help us to see the harmful effects when we believe human power is capable. Show us how to take direction from God the Holy Spirit. Help us to realize the reason why you look at the flesh and sin and the law as dead. Enlighten us so that we clearly get your message and see the things just as you do. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, the flesh wants to armbar your life. The flesh wants to armbar your life. I threw an extra of in there. It doesn't belong in there, so we get that out. The flesh wants to armbar your life. So one of the things that I want you to know is that what we're doing here is a setup for later in chapter 7 and chapter 8. And it's going to blow you away when you get to it. Because, just in studying this, I got a whole new viewpoint about what Romans chapter 7 is about. And then Romans chapter 8 is the mother lode for a Christian. It is everything you ever wanted to know about the Christian way of life and about living it. And so it's going to be really fun when we get there. But, you know, chapter 6, chapter 7, we take these stops to address sin and the law because we keep going back to it. The flesh wants to armbar your life. So as we learn about sin and the law and the flesh, what we would like to do is count on our knowledge of the subjects and move on. Oh, I know what you said. Pastor, I get it. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. And we have this thing called the flesh that's going to keep on irritating us. I get it. Now move on. But do you really get it? The apostles thought they got it. The night before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he asked Peter, James, and John to stay up with him because the Lord was, as the Bible describes it, deeply grieved in his soul, and they couldn't do it. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, the Lord came to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and found them sleeping. And the Lord said to Peter, so you mean you couldn't keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Then the Lord knew why they fell asleep. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh put them to sleep. The flesh didn't want the Lord to have any companions in his misery, in his time of being deeply grieved in his soul. See, quite often we get things intellectually. For example, when we use the intellect to assess the power of the flesh, we really underestimate its power. But what if we were to use personification as a vivid way to remind us of how insidious and cunning the flesh is at destroying us, at destroying our lives, and at destroying everything that is precious to us. That's the challenge of this lesson, to use personification to drill into your psyche what the flesh is really all about in your life. But first, a few announcements. Reminder to check in on Facebook before church service. Dana, thanks for always doing that. We really appreciate it. It's really funny to, you know, somebody said that they were with you at Barah Ministries. We're not. So, no. Be sure to like Barah Ministries on Facebook. Over 3,200 people have signed up to be part of our online community. Bring your friends to the Barah Ministries Facebook page today. Are you guys doing that? Are you sending any of these mini lessons to your buddies? If you're not, I think you should. Also, we're on YouTube now. And so if you go into YouTube and just type in Barah Ministries, all of those 10-minute lessons I seldom make 10 minutes, but all of those lessons are on YouTube. I'm going to ask Tracy Bixby to put Pastor Rory Clark into the title so that it comes up two ways. To come up Pastor Rory Clark, it'll come up Barah Ministries, but all of them are there. And we aren't getting as many views over on YouTube as we are getting over on Facebook. We still are getting in the neighborhood of 10,000 views on Facebook, but I think we'll figure out how to use YouTube sometime soon. The Barah Ministries app, just a reminder, is ready for download. Go to the App Store for iTunes or the Google Play and type in Barah Ministries. Thanks again to our non-resident congregation member, Brian Davis, for making this possible and making it easy. The company that we worked with was just fantastic in helping us get that app up and running. Mark your calendars, no face-to-face teaching, July 5th, 2015. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is June 14th, 2015. Those of you in the non-resident congregation, be sure to bring your bread and wine so that you can celebrate with us. Mark your calendars. The next deacon's meeting is May 23rd, 7:30 a.m. at the usual spot. Mark your calendars. Barah Ministries Coeur d'Alene Conference in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, August 7th and 8th, 2015. You set for that? Awesome. And what's next? Barah Ministries is back on the radio. I think we have our, what is it, our seventh program today? No, maybe fifth? Fourth. Okay, so yeah, I'm a little ahead of myself. But our fourth radio program on at 9:30 on Sundays, 9:30 to 10. KXEG 1280 AM in Phoenix, and also on the internet at kxeg1280.com. You can go into the broadcast library, look for Pastor Rory Clark, look for the last 60 days, it'll come up. Those radio lessons are also on our website at barahministries.com. Thank you very much, too, to the non-resident congregation members and the resident congregation members who have given specific support to the radio ministry. And thanks to my deacons, by the way, for always going out of their way. You know, they always go out of their way to make sure things happen. You know, Larry picks me up an hour before we have to go down to the radio station, which means he had to probably get up an hour and a half to put his makeup on and stuff. And then he comes over, he always makes sure that I have a comfortable car, he makes sure I get Starbucks, he takes me in, you know, he escorts me up the stairs, treats me like a king. It's just an excellent thing. We get in there, we do our job, we get out of there, he drives me home. The other day he drove me to the airport so that I could go on a trip. So I just, I don't want it to be missed. And Denny came in on Saturday yesterday so that we could record a lesson, because I was a little bit behind on getting the lessons prepared. And it's not lost on me that that pulls him away from his family. So these men are dedicated to you and dedicated to me. And I was just thinking about that this morning, how, you know, these are the men who haven't found it necessary to turn on their pastor or to run away from the Word of God through all the ups and downs of what we've gone through here. So then that's just an amazing thing to me and something that I'm very grateful for. So thank you, men. Appreciate it. Happy birthday to a one-year-old in our congregation, William Goodall. How you like that face right there? Those of you who are listening in audio, you got to go to the website and just take a look at that beautiful face. We got to make sure that that beautiful face is up there. So happy birthday to the one-year-old. Happy birthday to his mom, who will have a birthday on May 23rd. Happy birthday, Emily. And congratulations to Alyssa Lopez, who will be graduating from Mesquite High School via Wells Fargo Arena on May 20th at 3 p.m. That's a bad chick right there. Look at that. I'm a girl, but I can hope, y'all. I love that picture. Next Sunday after church, we'll have a prayer meeting and a pastor discussion. And I think there's been some discussion about the music ministry. So we'll take care of it in that. And so it'll be really good. Looking forward to that. Let's take the offering. Deacon Denny Goodall is going to do that. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a grace-oriented giver. This is a time when we get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who listen to us but can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of internet teaching or by means of face-to-face teaching. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. And even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And as I was driving this week, you know, I get my inspiration while I'm driving. Pastor gets his in the shower, but I always get mine while I'm driving because it's a little bit of alone time. And as I was speeding down the 60 at about 80 miles an hour, bobbing and weaving through traffic, I realized, you know, when it comes to driving, I do my best. You know, I'm Michael Schumacher when I'm driving. You know, but does that translate over into my spiritual life, into my spiritual gift? You know, and I thought about that. A lot of people have things where they, you know, they drive 100 miles an hour. They put the pedal to the metal, whether it's Facebook or, you know, basketball or video games or hiking. Or, you know, I have a cousin that's dedicated to exercise. You know, I wonder if he puts as much time into studying as he does into exercise. You know, when you hear something in a lesson, do you go back and research it? Do you look it up? You know, that doesn't often happen, but if you see something on Facebook, you're going to go back and look it up and see who started it and comment and spend some time and, oh, I've got a picture of that. Let me put a picture up. And you dedicate all this time there, but you don't do that here. So it made me think about the biggest thing that here at church that we focus on, donuts. When it comes to donuts, we go through those donuts. We eat all those donuts. By the time I'm trying to sneak back at the end and get one, they're gone. So let's put that same kind of dedication to the donuts into our giving. You know, you think about, we talk about Christ, and he's the one that put the pedal to the metal in his spiritual life. He didn't mess around. He went all the way. You know, same like Paul. So let's do the same thing as they did, you know, and you guys are here each week, so that means you are putting the pedal to the metal for your church. So we really appreciate it. So thank you very much. I didn't even do my verse. Let me do my verse first. So, in connection, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for flesh, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve, not the flesh. So thank you very much.
Welcome back. You know, sometimes when I listen to Deacon Denny's offering messages, they're just so right on. It's amazing. I'm thinking, why isn't he a pastor? And then sometimes his messages are just off base. Like, I don't understand what he's talking about the donuts. Right? It's like, if you can't get back here in time and get you a donut, well, I don't really know what the problem is, because there are always plenty of donuts from my point of view. You know what I'm saying? So I think you need to stop picking on people, man, because I ain't having a problem getting my donuts. Might have some problem getting a napkin around here so I can wipe some of the crumbs off my face, but I should be a stand-up comedian, shouldn't I? No, I think so. I think when I get bored with this pastor thing, I'm going to go to the Tempe Improv. June, you've been one of those faithful folks, too. I didn't want to neglect mentioning you, because during the dark times here, you were a shining light. So, brother appreciates that. All right, I think I have all the donut down my throat. Need a little water here. All right. The flesh wants to armbar your life. Do you know what an armbar is? You do? Do you? I can always tell when it's no with him, because he never wants to say no, you know? It's like, is it no? I'm asking you, is it no, so you can say yes. You know what an armbar is?
Yeah.
Would you like me to demonstrate one?
No.
Okay. Then you know what it is. Well, I wonder if you guys are familiar with a young lady by the name of Rhonda Rousey. She is a 28-year-old American, probably best known for her prowess in mixed martial arts, MMA. She is both the first and the current Ultimate Fighting Championship Women's Bantamweight Champion. And Rousey became the first U.S. woman to earn an Olympic medal in judo at the Summer Olympics in Beijing in 2008. Her specialty is the armbar. She is undefeated in mixed martial arts, having won 9 of her 11 fights by armbar. What is an armbar? Armbar is a submission technique used in mixed martial arts fighting, which involves stretching a limb, like the arm, in angles it was not meant to be twisted to, even creating the possibility of breaking a bone so that your opponent will resign from a fight. That's a great definition. And Rhonda Rousey is an expert at this technique. So I thought it might be good to show you her picture. As you can see, she is beautiful. Probably very sweet in conversation, but she is a deadly weapon in the UFC fighting ring. Can you imagine a criminal accosting her on the street? That criminal would be in for a rude awakening. Can you imagine a boyfriend hitting her? Ruh-roh. Rhonda Rousey is the perfect personification for the flesh. The flesh is beautiful, very sweet in conversation, but deadly. It gives you the false confidence that you can accomplish your dreams in your human power. Then it ruins everything you're trying to do. It routinely forces you into submission when you get the confidence that you are more powerful than it is. And most of the time, we walk around in this life thinking that we are more powerful than it is. So after a short break, let's enlighten you about the deceptions of the flesh, which is always trying to armbar your life. Take a 5-minute break. Yeah, it's okay. Are they? Where is the lime tree? What happened to Father, I adore you? Oh, was it? That's a bummer. Oh, gotcha. I think I missed the other verse. Today's study, the flesh wants to armbar your life. So welcome back. And by the way, Cleo Pettit was 1 year old on May 4th, right? So you gotta remind brothers of that. You can't just, I'm old. I mean, you can't be, I'm not one of those people who maintains a calendar, you know. So you just send me a bomb over the threshold every once in a while. But tell the cutie happy birthday from all of us here at Barah Ministries. So, and by the way, so you can correct the brother if he mispronounces something. It's Ronda Rousey. You can say, it's not Rousey, it's Rousey, okay? As you can tell now, I don't watch MMA because the thing she does to people's arms, I can't look at that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So anyway, as you think about the warnings in this lesson, ask yourself where these things show up in your life. As you think about the warnings in this lesson, ask yourself where these kind of things show up in your life. In the television show Survivor last week, which I watched for the strategy of it all, just love that part of it, one of the contestants, Mike, made a phenomenal point. He pointed to the shelter as he talked to Mama C, another contestant, as he was trying to influence her vote. And he said, you think you're safe tonight, Mama C, but you are not safe tonight. You are the target tonight. Look at those two guys sleeping in the shelter. That's survivor code for I'm safe tonight. I have nothing to worry about, so I don't have to run around and try to save myself. His talk was convincing, and he was right. The two people sleeping in the shelter had orchestrated a blindside against Mama C. She played an immunity idol that nobody knew that she had, and instead of getting voted out, one of the sleepers got voted out. And one of the things I have observed from watching Survivor for years is that the minute you have confidence that you're safe, you're on your way out. Let me repeat that. The minute you have confidence that you're safe, you're on your way out. So it is with the flesh. The minute you think that you have the flesh under control, you're on your way out. You're about one step away from getting voted off the island. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, "For we believers in Christ are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in union with Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." And the part I want you to let soak into your mind is that last part of that verse. We believers in Christ, put no confidence in the flesh, because we know that the flesh is our enemy. The minute we think we have it made, the flesh teaches us a lesson. The minute you say, "I would never," that's when you're guaranteed that you're going to do what you say you would never do. Do you have confidence in the flesh? I'm asking you to reflect on this. Where does confidence in the flesh show up in your life? We have confidence in the flesh when we think we have control of our lives. We forget that God can turn off our breathing mechanism in a nanosecond. We place confidence in the flesh when we get a big order and think that we are the source of it. I have had this happen to me several times in my professional life as a salesperson. I secure a big deal and I think that I am the reason it happens, and then the next thing I know, the flesh orchestrates a couple of painful losses for me. The Lord allows it to happen to remind me of my powerlessness. Let me repeat that. The Lord allows the lousy things to happen to remind me of my powerlessness. Because the minute that I forget where the source is, who is the source of my blessings, then all of a sudden the Lord uses the flesh to remind me. And the flesh is interested in doing it anyway, so it's not like the Lord is manipulating the flesh. He is not. But the flesh wants to hurt me, and he gets permission to hurt me. And so I have come to find that these times in our lives where we feel most weak and most vulnerable, when we feel singled out and pointed out and accused and spotlighted, those are the times in our life where we're really in touch with reality. And the times when nobody's talking to us, nobody's bothering us, nobody's making us inspect anything, those are the times of danger. Those times when everything's going well, when everything is profitable, when everything's progressing, those are the times when you need to really be aware that the flesh is orchestrating something for you. The source of our blessings is Christ. The source of our blessings is the Godhead. We have confidence in the flesh when we take things for granted. We think we have a person wrapped around our finger, and then they dump us. We let the relationship go unwatered for a long time, and the weeds come up and choke the relationship out. We have confidence in the flesh when we place expectations on ourselves that we should be a certain way. Should is guilt. We should be a certain way, that we should have mastered a certain thing, that we should be better than we are, faster than is possible. We are not the source of our spiritual growth. God, the Holy Spirit, is in charge of our spiritual growth. Are you on his time frame? Because he is orchestrating your growth one little bitty increment at a time, and he never fails. He knows what he's doing. We place confidence in the flesh when we think that the world has something to offer us. I see Christians all the time mix in the world's offering with biblical things. I think I told you about how churches often mix in the things of the world that are appealing to attract people to the church. They'll do a financial seminar series or a parenting series or a dating series just because they mix in a few Bible verses here and there to a completely secular presentation. they deceive themselves and others into thinking they are being spiritual. You know, God, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't ever teaching about money. He didn't go around teaching people how to manage their finances, and people at that time had finances. It's not what he did. The Lord Jesus Christ was not going around teaching leadership. He was a leader, he was leading, and he used leadership, but that's not what he was teaching. That was not the subject matter. The subject matter was the word. People who are doing this in these churches today are charlatans. They are not teaching the word of God. They are not representing the Savior properly. God is God, and the world is the world, and the two have nothing in common. The two don't ever mix. Light and darkness have nothing in common. Amen? The two are enemies, so don't ever get it in your head that they are the same somehow. When we place confidence in the flesh, we allow a mixture of the two. It's as if we're saying, I know I have cancer, but isn't it okay to keep some of the cancerous tissue along with the healthy tissue? Personification for sure, that must explode in your mind. And the answer is hell to the no. No, it is not smart. No, it is not okay to keep cancerous tissue in your body to go along with the healthy tissue. The cancer must go. And the funny thing is, the world is a counterfeiter. And the things of that the world is saying are going to sound similar to the things God is saying. Why? Because they will always duplicate the similarities. The devil is in the differences. See, in Roman Catholicism, if you ask a Roman Catholic, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They'll say, yeah. They will. Just like a Christian will say, yeah, we both believe in Christ. What do you believe about Christ? When you get at that, you will see that there is absolutely no similarity between what Roman Catholicism believes about Jesus Christ and what the Bible believes about Jesus Christ. The Bible believes that when Jesus Christ said at the cross, it is finished, he meant it. That salvation was finished at that moment as an established and irrevocable fact, and the result would go on forever. That is not what Roman Catholics believe about Christ. So, if you want to see the deception, you have to look at the differences. You cannot look at the similarities. The cancer must go. When you mix the world and God, it's a deception. Then all of a sudden, blam, out of nowhere, a slam in the head when the deception becomes obvious, oftentimes when it's too late. We place confidence in the flesh when we move away from things that edify us. We go to Bible study regularly. We're on a roll. We're really starting to let God modify us. And then all of a sudden we disappear from Bible study. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul warns, God the Holy Spirit says, explicitly says, that in latter times, in every generation, that's what in latter times means, some believers in Christ will fall away from the faith. They will fall away from the absolute confidence that they have everything they need. Instead, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. There it is. They will turn away from the Bible. They will turn away from faith alone in Christ alone. And they will turn to deceitful spirits who are conning them and to doctrines of demons. And it affects them. Are you on high alert about stuff like that? Because you need to be on high alert about stuff like that. So my question for you is, where does that show up in your life? What is working for you that you have drifted away from? That's what I mean by the insidiousness of the flesh. What is working for you that you have drifted away from? Because the flesh puts us in a mental armbar and makes us submit to complacency, to self-righteousness, to lasciviousness, just to name a few, all designed to ruin your life. Where does this show up in your life? You have to realize something. You cannot trust the flesh. See, that's why it's so important to identify who your enemies are. Because your enemies are those people that you cannot trust. If I ask you, do you trust Joe? You have to answer like that. It's yes or no. Well, I kind of trust on a relative scale and then sometimes and then. No, it's yes or no. And when you say yes or no, you're on high alert. When you equivocate and waffle back and forth, you're a victim. You're ready to be victimized. It's important that you know that. You must realize you can't trust the flesh. The flesh can't improve. The flesh doesn't get better. In fact, the Bible says it gets worse. The flesh is not your friend, nor will it ever be. It is your enemy. And here's one thing about that is true about your enemy that is not true about you. It is always on duty. You are not. It is always trying to give you confidence that you can handle things on your own. It's always waiting to suck you into another trap. It is your Ronda Rousey, always ready to give you an arm bar. We want to believe the flesh. In relationships, when I wasn't successful at sustaining them, I used to say, I have a defective picker. No, I didn't. I didn't have a defective picker. I had confidence in the flesh. I firmly believed that I could establish and sustain a relationship in the flesh. I've never been able to do it. And I've come to the conclusion at this advanced stage of my life that it can't be done. The flesh has no interest in a great relationship. Believers, you want to marry an unbeliever? Go right ahead. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'll predict it within 2 days of accuracy. It's going to end. They don't work. God said so. You don't have to listen to me. The flesh has no interest in a great relationship. A relationship cannot be sustained by the flesh. Yet if we lead with the flesh when looking for a relationship, we will get the exact relationship that we don't want, the one that destroys us and that rips through our emotions like a Category 5 hurricane. It can take years to rebuild after the destruction. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "You were called to freedom, brethren." You were called to freedom, believers in Christ. So don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Instead, through unconditional love, serve one another. When we put confidence in the flesh, God will allow us to follow the shameful, deceitful, injurious path that we have chosen, that we have created, so that after the destruction, we remember the source of our blessings. Shouldn't we also see the flesh as the source of our destruction? Shouldn't we also see the flesh as something more powerful than us that we can never defeat? We should. How would you like to go into the MMA cage with Ronda Rousey? Everybody goes, no. No, that pretty face will hurt you. I would never want to go into the cage with her. Why? It's simple. I know I would get hurt. I know I would never win. I would be humiliated and get injured and become discouraged, perhaps for life. The flesh is your Ronda Rousey. The only way to win against the flesh is not to play. The only way to win against the flesh is to send God the Holy Spirit in to defeat it, because you can't defeat it in your power. It is more powerful than you. We must see the flesh as God sees it: dead, destructive, devastating. Instead of fighting the flesh in our own completely inadequate human power, we send God the Holy Spirit to do our battles. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." God the Holy Spirit never loses. God the Holy Spirit always wins. Do you trust Him to fight your battles, or are you trusting yourself head to head with the flesh? When we realize that we will never get it and that we can't rest, we'll have a great start in the spiritual life. Closing promises of Jesus Christ are guarantees. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believe. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. And I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, eternal life, at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but instead the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song is The Essence of God.
Sovereignty, omnipotence, omnipresence, love, righteousness, justice, eternal life in the heavens above. Thank you.
Not bad. All right, good. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the fact that you gave us an image to place in our heads that help us to identify with the deadliness of the flesh. And we just ask you to remind us on a regular basis that the flesh is our enemy and not to contact our enemy in any way. And we just thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay for all the sins we'd ever commit, past, present, and future. We thank you for sending God the Holy Spirit as our teacher, our mentor, our guide, our paraclete, who comes powerfully to the assistance of us, especially in times of trouble. And we thank you, Father, for setting out a plan, a course of action billions of years ago, and giving us the victory in that plan through the Godhead. And we just ask that you continue to shape messages that are edifying to the souls that you bring to this congregation and to these messages, and that that the Word of God has an impact on them, one person at a time, one lesson at a time, one increment at a time. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.